Welcome to the Plenteous Redemption Podcast, where the cross and the culture are on a collision course for discussion.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require signs, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Now, here's your host, Thomas Ervin.
Welcome back to the Plenteous Redemption Podcast. Thank you again for coming and listening, and hope you enjoy this audio. This is going to be part two of our series on raising disciplined children. And this is where it's going to get a little touchy. We're going to look at what God says. Remember, it's not what I said, it's what God said about disciplining your children. And I hope it's something you're prepared for. Hope it's something you can mentally and emotionally stomach. Though it will be difficult for some of you. I don't know why. I mean, if you believe God, you trust God, then you should be ready and willing to do what God says is right. So that'll be our attitude as we go into this. We want to do what God said. How simple is that? So you bear with me. We'll go through this as quickly and efficiently as we can. The ending has some information about chastening, I think, might surprise you as relates to the spiritual life, because physical discipline directly relates, it directly translates to spiritual discipline and to spiritual chastening that God has to do for you and I. And so if we don't implement this into our children, how can God then later deal with your children? It's going to be very difficult. That's my testimony. My mom was 16 years old and homeless when she had me. She did the best she could, raising three children by herself for the most part. And that's not the way God established things. And because of that, certain troubles come about. So we want to see what God says. We'll start in Proverbs 23. We'll go through these quickly. They're pretty straightforward. There's not a whole lot to say. And we'll wind up at the end with some spiritual application that comes about as part of the physical disciplining of children, and see how we can apply these things in a good and godly way. All right, Proverbs 23, verses 13 through 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He'll be okay. I promise he'll be okay. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, that's an important connection. The discipline of your child, the physical discipline of your child in response to bad behavior, it will help shape their understanding of eternity and the importance. When God says, don't do this or there'll be repercussions, a child that has been effectively and properly disciplined will say, I understand what you mean. A child who has not, which is the overwhelming majority of children that exist in the world today, especially in the West, where parents are subject to their children. Children are not subject to the parents. That's a big problem. Now, the Bible used the word beat here. And for some of you, in your mind, what popped into your mind is abuse. And that's not what the Bible is advocating for here. The Bible would not have you abuse your child. The word beat, you know, it's interesting. In Uganda, they use the word beat for everything. You don't play the piano, you beat the piano. You don't call someone, you beat the phone to dial the number. So it's a matter of perspective on how the word is used biblically. The Bible is telling you you should discipline that child. And that does mean physical discipline. That's what the Bible says. I understand that's difficult for some of you. You don't understand that. You don't want to do that. But that's between you and God. I'm just telling you what it said. God said, you want to deliver his soul from hell? Then you need to spank that child. You need to discipline him physically. And that's the way to deliver a child's soul from hell. He's not going to die. He might act like he's dying, but he's not going to die. He's going to be okay. Next, and we're going to go through these Proverbs verses quickly. I have lots of notes here, but we want to progress and move on as we get through these and hopefully prevent some of you from having a meltdown. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom. That child is not born with the wisdom he needs or she needs. They're not born with the understanding they need. You have to give it to them. And we talked in the last lesson that comes, first of all, through proper instruction. But then that needs to be followed up when it's violated with the rod and reproof. Now, notice it's rod and reproof. You don't just reprove them, but they suffer no physical consequences. And you don't just give them physical consequences, but don't give them the follow-up by way of instruction. Both are essential. You have to have them. It's a complete package, and God expects that both are going to be implemented. And that's the way to train up a child and to prepare that child to face the world and to be a productive, law-abiding, godly citizen of your country. You'll notice that this doesn't exist in America, and look at the citizens of our country. It's overwhelmingly, that the connection is overwhelmingly evident. Today, the child's told, just be what you want, figure it out on your own, whatever's in your heart. You can be what you want to be, including something you biologically are not. I mean, things are so wild now, and it's because we're so far removed from any instruction. I mean, I dare not say godly instruction. I mean, that should be obvious, but any instruction, a child's just left to his own, and we know that the Bible says that brings about shame. A child is just but few days and full of trouble. And so you leave that child on their own without wisdom, without understanding, without knowledge, but full of trouble. How do you think that's going to go? Well, we can see how it's going to go. Look at the world we live in today. Look at our country. Look at the confusion that has just engulfed our country. And honestly, it's we could discuss the philosophical reasons for it all, even from a Christian perspective. The Bible has the answer, whether you want to hear that answer or not. But at a base level, if there's no discipline, what's to stop that child or anyone, for that matter, from doing anything? Everyone will do what they want. It's a free-for-all. They just kind of, there's nothing to stop them or prevent them or hinder them. And we don't want that. We want a society that is built upon good biblical principle. And so that's our aim. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. That's what God said. Don't be upset with me. He said, well, I just don't think I should spank my son. Well, that's because you hate him. You don't even like him. You don't care about his future. All you care about, what you're focused on, is how you feel right now. And I just feel like it's mean to spank my son. And in order to coddle my own feelings, I'm going to leave that child to become a rebellious, undisciplined, wild child who's going to go out in the world and do nothing but cause problems with green hair and gender confusion and run into 7-Elevens and rob them like that's okay, and do all sorts of mischief that in the end is very dangerous and is going to cause you shame and pain. I would suggest you get over your feelings now and help that child by taking the rod and helping him or her understand that what you have done is wrong. You're going to feel the consequences of doing wrong. And that's what needs to happen. But he that loveth him, but he that loveth him, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. All right. So if you love your child, if that's your claim, I love my child. Okay. Do you discipline your child with the rod and reproof? No, then you hate him. And you say, well, how can you say I hate my child? That's what God said. God said, if you will not take that rod, help your child by disciplining him, you hate that child. And you disagree with that, then take that up with God. But that's what God said. And he said, if you love that child, you will discipline that child. The two are miles apart, and the outcome is miles apart. And so we want to be on the right end of that matter. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's what's in a child. When you're young, when your boy comes home and says, I think I'm a girl, that's foolishness. When your girl comes home and says, I think I'm a boy, that's foolishness. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You see, there is no rod of correction for all these fools running around calling themselves something they are not. They have no discipline. They're praised. They're said to be heroes. It's turned into a massive and profitable political agenda. Not only so, you can go online, you can look it up yourself. Now you have major hospitals on camera speaking about the profitability of sex change surgeries and encouraging this activity because it can make them so much money and it will do them so well. You better drive that foolishness out of your child before they're turned over to the insanity of this world. Get over your feelings, trust God, and let's do right. Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope. That's an important phrase. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Like I said, they might act like they're dying. They're not dying. What's happening is the foolishness inside of them is being confronted. And the physical pain is a minor thing to most children compared to having to confront their pride and foolishness. That's the hard part. That's what you're actually seeing play out. I don't want to be punished. I want to be a fool. But you're not going to be a fool. We're going to drive that foolishness out of you. And so they may act as though it's the pain from the rod, but the reality is it's not the pain from the rod. It's the pain from having their pride and their foolishness, their internal foolishness, their thinking confronted. And the Word of God does that and does that very well. And so the Bible says there's a measure of time that you have of hope, and that time runs out. While you have that measure of time, you better chasten that child and do what you can to discipline that child. And if you don't, if you fail, you're going to raise an adult rebel. That might make you feel better to not have to go through the process of disciplining a child. Nobody likes it. It's not enjoyable, but it's also not enjoyable to raise a child that ends up in prison or on drugs or a deadbeat or with green hair and confused about their gender. They're all the same thing. They're just different forms of the same kind. And so it's important that we discipline our children and prepare them for the life to come. Now, the training and chastening of a child by his or her parents will directly relate to their potential relationship with God. All right. Now, if that's important to you, then you're going to want to do what you can to discipline your child so that they grow up to be godly children, so that they grow up to have a strong relationship with God. If a relationship with God is of no consequence to you, then I guess just let your child grow up and do what they want. I mean, don't discipline them. I would assume if you're here listening to this, then your heart's desire is inclined to follow God, to live for the Lord. And parental relationships, they do much to prepare the child for that oncoming relationship with God. And failure to do that, failure to train your child, to teach your child, to chasten your child, is a failure to prepare them for a relationship with God in heaven. All right. So just some quick examples of that, you know, the God deals with us, with Christians, people who have been born again, people who get saved, the people who trust in Jesus Christ. God deals with us in a very similar manner. The parental relationship is a picture of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. God is our Father in heaven. According to John 1, you trust in Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. God becomes your Father. Before that, before you trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God is not your Father. You have two options. You're of your father, the devil, or you're of your Father in heaven, the God of heaven and earth. And so as we go through this process, you trust in Jesus Christ, you're born again, you're now a newborn babe in Christ, all right? You desire the sincere milk of the word, but you want to grow until you get to the meat of the word. And so 1 Corinthians 3 verses 1 through 4 talks about carnal babes. Well, by a very nature, a newborn baby is just as carnal as can be. We have a newborn baby in our house. Well, he's 5 months old now. I guess he's not a newborn anymore. Physically, he's not a newborn anymore. He's growing fast. He's a big boy. But he's carnal. He doesn't know any better. He just knows, I'm hungry, cry. I'm sleepy, cry. I want something, I don't know what it is, cry. And so over time, you have to discipline that child and teach them, just because you want something, you don't get to scream and cry and throw a fit. And the child begins to, as they receive negative feedback for that behavior, they begin to amend their behavior. And my wife does an excellent job of teaching our children and spending time with them and meeting their needs in a timely and reasonable way, but also giving them proper negative feedback by way of chastening when they don't act properly, and they need to learn. You don't get to scream. You don't get to cry. You don't get to yell. You don't throw a fit. You don't get to just do these things and expect that we're going to come running and give you what you want. That's not going to happen. So we all start off when you're a newborn babe in Christ. What do you know about living the Christian life? Now there's this newfound nostalgia, this excitement, this euphoria to some extent. You're excited if you truly trusted in Christ. And you're willing to just do whatever, but you don't know what to do. You know, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you, and you begin to have these confrontations between your spirit and your flesh, or between the Holy Spirit and the flesh, and you're trying to learn to do right. And you're a carnal babe. You need to grow out of that. You need to be strengthened. You need to be built up in the Word of God. And so then in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, you have young men, little children, and fathers. This again, this is this progression of responsibility and expectation as you grow in the Lord. And so it's no different with your child. And as they grow, they need to be built up. They need to be taught. They need to be trained. And if you fail to do that, you're going to raise a rebellious child that's going to bring you nothing but shame. But it doesn't have to be that way. That is a choice that you make. Get in the Bible, learn what God says about discipline and about training a child, and let's do that. And then we raise disciplined children who will be good, productive citizens, who are not out robbing people and randomly pulling up a car and jumping out and beating someone and kicking them and stomping them half to death for no reason at all, just because it seemed like a fun thing to do, and you get to post a video on Instagram. That's a result of a failure to raise children. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, we'll just talk about all three of them, and then we'll get to there's a portion of this that I want to get to before we wrap up. It talks about Timothy receiving the knowledge he needed as a child. So he had a mother and a grandmother. You know, I guess we don't know too much about the participation of his father. We had a mother and a grandmother who did much to build him up in the Word of God. And then when the Apostle Paul comes along, he's already prepared for a relationship with God because of the work of his mother and grandmother. That's our job as parents. You can't save your child. You can't prevent them from making bad choices, but you should train them so thoroughly that it makes it nearly impossible for them to go on and make those bad choices. And I'm not insinuating that this will save every child and that we'll never have trouble. That's not the case. Some children are just going to, they just want to experience it for themselves. They want to learn the hard way. And so you almost have to leave them to do that. As sad as that is, we would prefer not to do that. We would prefer them take the instruction and learn that in that way. But you imagine a society where 90 to 95% of the people did what God said. Even if they were not Christians, they just applied a reasonable measure of discipline to their children as consequence for doing right and doing wrong. Encouragement for doing right, discipline for doing wrong. What would your society look like? It'd be far better. And so we want to do our best to implement that in our own lives for our children. All right, now let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verses 3 through 6. This is very interesting. Now, this again is translating to the spiritual aspect of all of this in terms of our spiritual growth as Christians and growing in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord and being built up in the most holy faith. Verses 3 through 6, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have not, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth," God's taking his own advice, "for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." God said, if you love your child, you'll chasten them betimes. If you hate your child, you'll spare the rod. And we don't want to be counted amongst those who hate our children. And we don't want to raise rebellious, out-of-control children. So he says to them, you have forgotten the exhortation that was given you as a child. So now you are going to be chastened and rebuked, but don't faint. It's for your benefit. This is the hard part to understand and to grasp. We think being overly nice to our children, that's what's going to encourage them to do right. God said it's beneficial for you as a Christian, a newborn babe in Christ, or a carnal Christian who's been around for a long time but failed to grow, and for your children as they grow up. It is beneficial for them to be disciplined. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's the connection between love and discipline. All right? Now let's look at verses 7 through 11. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. All right, that's important. It's for our profit. We benefit that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. All very important stuff. We don't have time to dive into too deeply, but your Father in heaven is going to deal with you as a father should deal with a child. That should be your expectation. That doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, that informs us then that God's expectation of a father is that he will chasten his children. God's going to do it to you if you belong to him. He expects you to do it to your children. Failure to do so means your children don't grow and don't become strengthened. They don't become mentally and emotionally stable. They fail to be able to do that. It's not possible for them. They don't get themselves under control. There's been no repercussions for their activity, for their behavior. If you do not chasten your children, then you are not dealing with them as fathers deal with sons. That's according to God. That's not my opinion. In verse 8, if you are without chastisement, it must be because you are a bastard. You don't have a father, or you have a father who refuses to deal with you as a son. That's not a good place to be in. A bastard is a natural child, a child begotten and born out of wedlock, an illegitimate or spurious child. That's the standard family today, unfortunately. Your refusal to chasten your child demonstrates that you're not a father and your child is a bastard. It's not only applicable spiritually. If God's not chastening you, then it might be that God is not your father. Well, if your father's not chastening you, according to the Bible, your father thinks you're a bastard. It's a terrible thing to have to say, but it's the reality. Now, verse 9, fathers of the flesh corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Again, it's establishing that same relationship, the father to the son, then the father in heaven to the child of God. It's very important that we get that, that we understand that. Your children learn to have reverence for authority if their father corrected them over the years. So if this form of parental structure does not exist in your child's life, how are they ever being subject to the Father of Spirits? What is God's authority? They don't know it. Your child doesn't know what authority is. All right, now, no chastening for the present seemeth joyous. I mean, that is quite obvious. Now, from a spiritual perspective, for the saved soul, what is this chastening God is talking about? All right, we know the chastening exists. We know that God's going to do it. But what is this chastening? Verse 3 says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Hebrews 12:4, follow peace with all men. Men. This chastening is going to come from people you have invested in, people you love, people you never thought would do this to you. That's who God's going to use to chasten you. And what happens when it happens, consider the Lord who went through the same thing. God's going to use people in your life, people you love, people you care about, people you never thought would do you wrong, people you thought would be by your side for all time. God's going to use them to chasten you. That's hard. Now, you don't have to be the person God uses. Judas Iscariot didn't have to be the one to betray the Lord. Somebody was going to do it. He didn't have to be the one. You don't have to be that person that God uses to chasten others. Someone will do it. Just don't let it be you. And don't let it be your child. So let's implement the proper level of discipline so that we can be pleasing to God, so that we can be productive citizens who don't fight against authority, and we can produce generations of people who have character, good, godly character. I hope this was helpful. I hope you'll apply it. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can learn more about our ministry by visiting www.plenteousredemption.com. You can hear more Plenteous Redemption podcast audio at www.plenteousredemption.media. Please comment below if this podcast has been a help to you. Also, inform us of future topics that would interest you. Thank you again for listening to the Plenteous Redemption Podcast.